We're committing to collectively reduce our methane by 30% by 2030.
U.S. President Joe Biden unveils plan to cut methane emissions at COP26. It's Wednesday, November 3rd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Mimi Heibels in Washington. You can also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, climate pledges missing the mark? Australia rejects French claims of AUKUS deal deception. And the fate of a female-run TV station in Afghanistan. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Now to Glasgow, Scotland, where U.S. President Joe Biden is spending another day at one of the most crucial climate summits in years. President Biden spoke at the UN conference on protecting the world's forests, his Build Back Better World plan, and his strategy for cutting greenhouse gas emissions. ABC News' Rena Roy has the latest now from Glasgow.
On day three of this crucial climate conference,
we're committing to collectively reduce our methane by 30% by 2030.
President Biden laying out his vision for a cleaner planet, unveiling a sweeping plan to cut methane emissions, a powerful greenhouse gas experts say is largely responsible for global warming. New strict rules will allow the EPA to crack down on the oil and gas industry, a producer of methane gas.
This isn't just something we have to do to protect the environment in our future. It's an enormous opportunity for all of us, all of our nations, to create jobs and make meeting climate goals a core part of our global economic recovery as well.
The White House also promising to protect tropical rainforests and forests at home.
This plan is the first of its kind, taking a whole government approach and working in our case with Congress to deploy up to $9 billion in U.S. funding through 2030. To conserve and restore our forests.
As Biden faces struggles at home with his Build Back Better plan, he is taking it to the world stage.
Build Back Better World is going to show that we can grow our economies, fight climate change, and leave a better, cleaner, more livable planet for all of our children.
For the first time in 5 years, the U.S. back at the table.
That was ABC News' Rena Roy reporting. More than 100 countries signed on to that historic methane pledge. It's the first time world leaders are collectively agreeing to cut down on that harmful gas. We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Taliban say Islamic State gunmen stormed Kabul military hospital. Taiwan ship giant to expand to Japan. Former U.S. diplomat Bill Richardson meets with Myanmar junta leader. Yahoo halts services in mainland China. China-Myanmar at the forefront of U.S.-Indonesia meeting. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. There are stark warnings from scientists that a failure to agree to much deeper cuts in greenhouse gas emissions will result in catastrophic and irreversible climate change. But as Henry Ridgewell reports from Glasgow, Scotland for VOA, hopes are already fading that the COP26 climate summit will result in any new deal to save the planet.
The center of Glasgow is locked down. These conference halls are officially United Nations territory for the next 2 weeks as world leaders line up to try to save the planet. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres set the tone.
Enough of killing ourselves with carbon. Enough of treating nature like a toilet. Enough of burning and drilling and mining our way deeper. We are digging our own graves.
Will that warning be heeded? Over 120 world leaders are attending, some defending their record on climate, others presenting new pledges to curb emissions. India is the world's third biggest polluter. Hopes were high that Prime Minister Narendra Modi would present new plans to cut emissions.
First, By 2070, India will achieve the target of net zero emissions.
That date is 20 years later than the UN target of 2050, a major disappointment for many climate campaigners. The focus of the summit is not only about pledges made on stage, but about who hasn't shown up at all. President Xi Jinping of China, by far the world's biggest emitter of greenhouse gases, is not attending. He offered only a written statement and made no new significant pledges to cut emissions.
It could be because probably they don't have too much else to offer, and probably they would prefer to avoid the pressure of being in a COP. That could be the reality.
President Vladimir Putin of Russia, the world's fourth biggest emitter of greenhouse gases, is also absent. Among climate campaigners, the disappointment is already palpable.
This COP26 is so far just like the previous COPs, and that has led us nowhere. They have led us nowhere.
But others say COP26 shouldn't be written off.
To have finally a collective vision for the world that nobody's doubting or questioning, I think it is a good thing. But now we do need to have more clear actions, not only targets, but more clear action.
In summit after summit, world leaders have pledged ambitious targets to cut emissions. The message here is that it's time to turn those promises into concrete policies. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News at the COP26 Climate Summit in Glasgow.
Happening now in Asia, the UN Refugee Agency reports the first of three airlifts carrying winter relief for tens of thousands of Afghans will land in the capital, Kabul. The UNHCR plans to provide essential aid to 500,000 people before winter sets in. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison rejected accusations French President Emmanuel Macron made about a scrapped $37 billion submarine deal. Macron has recently said Morrison lied when abandoning the submarine deal before Australia joined a new security pact with the United Kingdom and the United States, known by its acronym AUKUS. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports for VOA.
The AUKUS alliance and Australia's cancellation of a lucrative defence contract in favour of US-built nuclear submarines caught Paris off guard. France felt betrayed. In protest, France temporarily recalled its ambassadors from Washington and Canberra. Tensions remain. French President Emmanuel Macron told reporters at the meeting of the G20 grouping of industrialized nations that Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison had been deceitful, despite the two countries enjoying a close relationship.
When we have respect, we have to behave in line and consistently with this value.
Do you think he lied to you?
I don't think. I know.
Morrison quickly denied he had lied. He insisted he had explained to Macron in June that the submarines to be supplied by French company Naval Group weren't going to meet Australia's military requirements.
I was very clear that what was going to be provided to us was not going to meet our strategic interest.
News reports in Australia have described the dispute between Australia and France as a diplomatic disaster for Canberra and that the damage looks uncontrollable. Australian opposition Senator Penny Wong, the shadow foreign affairs minister, believes Australia has been embarrassed by the French president's allegations.
We've got a reputation as a nation for being straight shooters. That's Australia's reputation internationally. We do what we say. Mr. Morrison's failure to be upfront, his failure to, as President Macron says, tell the truth, is damaging our interests.
Mark Kenny is a professor at the Australian Studies Institute at the Australian National University. He says rarely are world leaders so openly criticised by their peers.
This was really quite a rare level of candour that we see, and a very abrupt denunciation of the integrity of a fellow world leader by Emmanuel Macron. And I thought that was extraordinary.
US President Joe Biden also conceded that the United States was clumsy in its negotiations for a new alliance with Britain and Australia, which cost France billions of dollars. The AUKUS pact will allow Australia to become only the seventh country to have nuclear-powered submarines. The new fleet isn't expected to be in service for decades, forcing Australia to potentially lease or buy vessels from the United States or Britain in the meantime. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Making headlines in Asia, biotechnology company Novavax says Indonesia has given the world's first emergency use authorization for its COVID-19 vaccine, which uses a different technology than current shots and is easier to store and transport than some other shots. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, Afghanistan had a vibrant media when the Taliban took over the country in August. Among the multitude of diverse channels was one run by women. That channel is now folding due to Taliban threats and censorship. But the woman who was the driving force behind it refuses to give up. VOA's Aisha Tanzim spent time with her in Kabul. This is her story.
Zahra Nabi is wrapping up her life's work. Threats and censorship from the Taliban are forcing her to shut down her dream project, an all-female-run television station, Bano TV, in Kabul. A team of women technicians, producers, editors, reporters, and anchors ran the channel for nearly 4 years. Nabi remembers the ridicule she had to endure when she first thought of the idea in 2016. Because of religious beliefs and traditions in Afghanistan, many people think women cannot function in society without men.
They laughed. They said, how women? Women are not that much strong to do these things or to run a TV station. A TV station is a very big thing that you are thinking. It's not something that just a woman decided to drive a car or these things.
Nabi proved many naysayers wrong. Within 6 months of opening its doors in 2017, thanks to her smart financial planning, the station was making money. Then came the Taliban. Even before they took over the country in August, Nabi would receive phone calls harassing her over her station's content, especially the romantic dramas.
You know, before they took the control of the capital, we were running some dramas. So they gave us a call and said, what kind of drama is this? Who are paying you? Who are supporting you? Who did you receive fund from?
She tried to continue after the Taliban takeover, but soon found her work censored, especially on issues like women protesting for their rights.
On the protest day, I went there. They came hand to hands, they put the gun, these things, the first protest of women. So I put only some few pictures on our social media. But then when they saw, they suddenly gave a call and they think that you are not allowed to put these things.
When she was physically harassed outside her apartment one day and complained to the Taliban security officials, Nabi said they refused to help unless she could bring a male relative to complain on her behalf. Her staff of 50 have left the country out of fear of the Taliban. Her TV channel is not operating anymore. She has no income. But she says nothing has broken her spirit. Armed with a camera and a computer, Nabi plans to continue the fight for freedom of speech despite the risks. Even though she's forced to wrap up this place, Nabi is not giving up her dream. She's planning to pay the rent for this place for at least 6 more months out of her own pocket in the hope of opening it up again. Aisha Tanzim, VOA News, Kabul.
And in space news, officials say a medical issue has sidelined one of 4 astronauts assigned to SpaceX's upcoming flight to the International Space Station and delayed the launch. NASA said the launch is now off until Saturday night at the earliest. Liftoff had been scheduled for this past Sunday, but bad weather offshore moved it to Wednesday. It's the first time in decades that a U.S. flight has been delayed by a crew member's health. Officials would not say which astronaut is affected. You have been listening to VOA Asia. Be sure to like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thank you for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Chris Cascao, Jessica Stone, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Amy Heibels in Washington. Now go and make it a great day.